I am Grandpa, and I love you.
I'm Grandma, and I love you too.
Welcome to our podcast, Grandpa and Grandma Bedtime Stories.
We share some stories that will make you laugh.
We share stories that might make you cry.
And we share stories that will give you courage to choose the right.
And these bedtime stories will help you to dream sweet dreams.
So get on your pajamas and say your prayers.
Turn out the light and hear our story tonight. Good morning. This is Grandpa Edward Jeffrey Hill, and tonight's bedtime story is about friendship and how important it is to be a good friend. A good friend will be with you when you are happy, when you are sad, when you are glad, and even when you are mad. A good friend will have your back in hard times. In tonight's bedtime story, we will conclude the saga of the Tacoma 7th Ward basketball team of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as we gave our all to try to make it to the all-church basketball tournament in Salt Lake City. At practice 2 weeks before the start of the season, Coach Don seemed to have a look of satisfaction on his face. But then he blew his familiar whistle and shouted, "Everyone on the baseline!" Randy, Steve, and I were the first to line up, and the rest of the team soon followed suit. He wheeled up to us in his wheelchair with a serious look on his face. We wondered what he was going to yell at us about this time. It seemed like he always yelled at us in anger or disappointment when he had us line up on the baseline. We waited. Coach Don opened his mouth, and he did yell. But he did not yell in anger or disappointment. Instead, he yelled with pride, "You guys have really worked hard. I think you are in really good shape. I am really proud of you." Wow, that made us feel so good. Then he continued with a stern voice, "Now it's time to really learn about pressing. It will require every bit of stamina that you have." He then told us about how to full court press. Let me explain. In basketball, you usually let the other team take it out of bounds and dribble the ball through the backcourt and into the front court before you start guarding them. When you full court press, you guard the other team everywhere on the floor. You never let them rest. This can be very unsettling for the other team. You can often steal the ball. However, it takes lots of energy to full court press. But Coach Dan thought we were in good enough shape to do it. For the next 2 weeks, we practiced all kinds of full court pressing. We learned how to anticipate passes and intercept them. We learned how to fast break effectively when we stole the ball. I loved full court pressing because I was quick and I was good at stealing the ball. Our first game of the season was on a Thursday evening against Tacoma First Ward at 1102 South Pearl Street in Tacoma, Washington. And we were ready. We were so excited. We got to the game half an hour early to get in some good warm-up drills. Though I was excited, I was so very, very nervous. I was anxious with a capital A. Do you ever get nervous before doing something for the first time? I sure do. And I know Grandma Tamara Stell Mulford Hill does too. And when she was alive, I know that Grandma Juanita Ray Hill also got nervous before doing something for the first time. Being nervous when you are doing something for the first time, well, it's just normal. As we walked out onto the basketball floor in the cultural hall, I felt like I had thousands of butterflies flying in my stomach. I felt agitated, and I felt like I wouldn't be able to do anything very well. But then I recognized the feeling. It was the same feeling as I would have in a track meet when it was my turn to triple jump. Then I remembered what Coach Harrington had taught me. He had taught me to teach those butterflies to fly in formation, and they would help me do my best. By the way, you can listen all about my triple jump career in Season 1, Episodes 14 through 20. I think those are fun stories. Though I felt like there were thousands of butterflies in my stomach, I just told them to fly in formation. And then I was ready to do my best. We all had on our beautiful uniforms that my dad had donated, and we had confidence as we started doing our pregame warm-ups, doing lay-ins. I looked over at the other team, and they looked pretty good. They had a 6'4" center, and he was taller than any of our players by a lot. They could all make their layups. I wondered if we would be able to win. What if we lost our very first game? I worried when several ward members showed up to cheer for us. I didn't want to disappoint them. Once during layups, the ball got by me to where the other team was warming up. Surprisingly, I saw someone I knew and asked him how long their team had been practicing. He said that they had had their first practice the day before at YMMIA. When I realized we had been practicing for 2 months and not just one day, that gave me some hope. With their tall center, they got the opening tip-off, and in 5 seconds, they fed it back to this tall center, who went over Randy and scored the first basket. Oh no! We were already behind 2-0. Maybe we were going to lose. Maybe all our practicing was not going to help us win. We took the ball down the floor, ran our play, which was designed to give Randy a 15-foot jump shot that he rarely missed. But this time, he had a case of opening game jitters, and I guess his butterflies weren't flying in formation. His shot missed terribly, bounced off the rim, and the rebound was taken by their towering center. The first ward team took the ball down the floor, and after a few passes, lobbed it into their gigantic center, who made a short jump shot. Now they were ahead 4-0. Oh no, this was the worst. Then, just 1 minute into the game, Coach Don called timeout. I expected he would be hopping mad, but he wasn't. He said something like this: "Hey guys, that guy is a beast. You can't let him have the ball. But I have confidence in you. Let's run that play to Randy, and when he makes the basket, it's time to start full court pressing. And just watch what happens. Play hard." And then we all shouted, 1, 2, 3, break! This time we worked the ball into Randy, and he swished his jumper. Now we were only behind 4-2. We started our man-to-man full-court press. We guarded every player everywhere on the whole floor. The other team didn't know what to do. We quickly stole the ball, and Roger picked up a quick basket. We were now tied 4-4. The next time, Randy stole the ball and passed it to me. I made an easy layup, and now we were ahead 6-4. We kept pressing and kept scoring. To make a long story short, at the end of the first quarter, we were ahead 30-4. Wow! In the second quarter, Coach Don didn't want to humiliate the other team, so we stopped pressing and set up our offense. We ran all of our plays. Some of them worked and some of them didn't work so well. I could see Coach Don was making notes on his clipboard. Without the press, they could get their ball into their center, and he scored about 10 points in one quarter. But at the half, we were still ahead 54-20. At the beginning of the second half, Coach Don told us to pretend we were behind by 15 points with 2 minutes left to play. We pressed with all our might and scored 16 points in 2 minutes. Guess what the score was? You're right, it was 70-20. 54 plus 16 is 70. After that, Coach Don put in 3 Deacons at a time, and the game was played pretty evenly. I can't remember the final score. I think it was about 90-40. After the game, Randy, Roger, and I decided to go drinking to celebrate. Do you think we drank beer? Of course not. No, we wouldn't do that. Well, actually, I guess we kind of drank beer. We drank root beer. We went to A&W's, which was a popular fast food place in those days, and we ordered a gallon of root beer and 3 of their famous frosty glass mugs. Those mugs were the best. They were made out of thick, beveled glass and kept in the freezer at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, which was, and still is, 18 degrees below zero Celsius. By the way, do you know the difference between Celsius and degrees Fahrenheit? In Celsius, freezing of pure water at sea level is equal to 0 degrees, and boiling of pure water at sea level is equal to 100 degrees. And then you divide up the degrees that way. It's very logical. It makes a lot of sense. Fahrenheit, on the other hand, makes no sense. I have always wondered why we use Fahrenheit to measure our degrees instead of Celsius. Anyway, back to the story. These mugs were frozen at a very cold temperature, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit or minus 18 degrees Celsius. You certainly would not want to put your tongue on these mugs until they had warmed up a little. The three of us celebrated our season opening win by drinking a whole gallon of root beer. We would pour the root beer into our frosty mugs, and little ice crystals would form in the root beer. It was so cold, and so sweet, and so good. I can still picture it. I can still feel the cold and sweet fizz as it went into my sweaty body. Now I know that this was not good for me. It had so much sugar, and I can only imagine how much it spiked my blood glucose level. But it was sweet to be with friends who cared about each other and were there for each other in good times and bad. That root beer brought us together. Over the next 6 weeks, we played every team in the stake. All of the games played out pretty much like the season opener. We would demoralize the team in the first quarter, practice our offense in the second quarter, play hard at the beginning of the third quarter, and then let the Deacons play for an even match the rest of the game. We never really had a challenge. We won all of our games by at least 40 points, and once we scored more than 100 points in one game. Coach Don told us to never do that again. It was not being good sports to score so much. After all of these games, Randy, Roger, and I loved to go afterwards for frosty mugs and A&W root beer. We became fast friends. After the state tournament, we entered the regional tournament to qualify for the divisional tournament, which would be what we would have to win to qualify to go to Salt Lake City in the all-church tournament. In the regional tournament, we played against the state champions from six different stakes, from Centralia, Olympia, Mount Rainier, Tacoma, Auburn, and Kent. This time, we were more than a little nervous. These tournaments were single elimination. Do you know what single elimination means? It means if you lose just one time, you are out of the tournament. Your season is over. That's why we were more than a little nervous. We all had thousands of butterflies in our stomachs. I talked to my teammates about teaching those butterflies to fly in formation. We looked at our first opponent from Olympia. Their team looked to be very good. They had at least five or six players who looked like they were in high school. In fact, their team looked very much like ours. It looked like they had some really good players and then a number of Deacons. There was one difference. They had a very tall center, about 6 foot 6 inches tall. Our tallest player was 6 feet tall. Coach Don told us we would need to steal the ball before they could get it to their tall player. We played with all our might. We started pressing them from the opening tip-off. They were good, but our pressure all over the court rattled them. Often we would steal the ball, but if they ever got to get set up, you could see they were a very disciplined and a very good team. They would pass the ball around for a long time until their big man could get free. There was no stopping him. However, the press was too much for them. At the half, we were ahead by about 10. If I remember right, the score was about 50 to 40. At the beginning of the second half, Olympia came out very inspired. They played so hard, and after 5 minutes, they had tied the score 58 to 58. Coach Dan called timeout. he told us it was time to show which team was in better shape. He told us to press like there was no tomorrow, because if we didn't beat this team, there would be no tomorrow. We were determined to give it our all. So we pressed constantly at both ends of the court and everywhere in between. Soon we were very tired, but they were utterly exhausted. It was clear that all that work to get in shape had paid off for us. By the middle of the fourth quarter, we were up by almost 20 points. We won easily and even put in the Deacons the last 2 or 3 minutes. The other two games in the regional tournament were not as close. We won them easily and qualified for the divisional tournament to be held the next weekend in Seattle at Seattle Pacific University. We would be playing against teams from Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, and Alaska. The winner of this Northwest division would go to the All Church Tournament in Salt Lake City. There would be 8 teams in a single elimination tournament. This is what we had worked for all season. Since there were 8 teams and it was single elimination, we would have to win 3 straight games in about 24 hours to win the divisional tournament and a trip to the All Church basketball tournament in Salt Lake City. We played our first game on Friday night, and I don't remember much about that game other than the fact that we won. I think it was against the team from Vancouver, Washington region. We also won the next game against a team from Oregon, so we made it to the finals. Now we were in the game on which the season rested. We were playing against the winner of the Anchorage, Alaska region. They had flown on an airplane down just for this tournament. And they looked good. I mean, they looked so good. They had about 15 young men on their team, and at least 10 of them looked like they were in college. In warm-ups, we were petrified. How could we possibly beat this team? Coach Don said, "We can beat these guys. You just have to run them into the ground." From the opening tip-off, we pressed aggressively. It rattled them, and they called timeout a few times. But they recovered, and the lead seesawed back and forth. Sometimes they were ahead, and sometimes we were ahead. Randy was just a scoring machine. I don't think he missed all night. This was before they had 3-point shots. If they had 3-point shots, we would have blown this team away because Randy was making baskets from everywhere. Like all teams, they were flustered by our constant hand-in-their-faces pressing. You could tell that they made many mistakes because they were frustrated. And at halftime, we led by about 5 points. It had been a hard-fought game, but we had confidence, and it seemed as though we were destined to go to the All-Church tournament. In the second half, the referees started calling the game a little closer. Apparently, the coach of the Alaskan team had complained that we were fouling on every possession, but no fouls were being called. So in the first 5 minutes of the second half, we got 18 fouls. From now on, every time we fouled, they would get 2 foul shots. Worse than that, Randy picked up his 4th personal foul, and when you get 5 fouls, you foul out of the game. When you foul out, you can't play anymore in that game. Still, at the beginning of the 4th quarter, we were still ahead by 10. But we were in big foul trouble. Randy had 4 fouls. I had 4 fouls. Steve had 4 fouls. And Roger had 4 fouls. With 8 minutes left in the game, I was guarding one of their players who missed a shot. I didn't even touch the guy at all, and yet the referee called me for hacking, and I had my 5th foul. I couldn't believe it. I was out of the game. I had fouled out. I just glared at that referee. I wanted to do more than just glare, but I didn't want to get a technical foul. That would hurt us a lot. With 6 minutes left, Roger fouled out, and Coach Don called timeout. We were ahead by 8 points. He told Steve and Randy to pass the ball back and forth for as long as they could. Don't even shoot for a basket. We would try to stall the rest of the game. That worked for about 4 minutes, But then they got aggressive and managed to steal the ball. Steve fouled out when he tried to block a shot. Now Randy was our only star left. He did a great job. They would make a basket, and then he would go down by himself and make another basket. But with 2 minutes left, he fouled out. We were still ahead by 6, but now we just had our Deacons left. They tried as hard as they could, but they were no match for the team from Alaska. The Alaskan team scored 16 points in 2 minutes, and we lost by 10 points. After the game, we were all so sad. We tried to be good sports, and we congratulated the other team. But the truth was, we were devastated. The goal we had worked so hard for, going to the all-church tournament, was not to be. Coach Don gathered us around, and again he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "The refs stole that game from us, but I want you to know I have never been so proud of anyone as I am of you. You may have lost this game, but you are all winners." Coach Don was a real friend. He was there for us when we were down. After the game, we all went to A&W to drink root beer. Even Coach Don came in with his wheelchair. We drank 4 gallons of root beer, and we started to laugh together. As friends, we were able to deal with this great disappointment. We were there for each other and had each other's backs. When I got home, I was still sad, but I was happy too. We had done our best, and I felt really good about that. That was the one and only time that Coach Don was our basketball coach. I found out later that he took the loss very hard. In fact, I met him 20 years later in a grocery store when I was visiting Washington. He recognized me and immediately smiled. And when I walked up to him, his first words were, "You know, I should have taken out Randy when he got his 4th foul and then put him back in after you guys fouled out. Then we would have won the game." Coach Don was still thinking about the game 20 years later. In that grocery store, I told Coach Don how much that season meant to me and how many things I had learned from him. And then again, he started to cry. Well, we learned a lot from that season of church basketball, and I'm so grateful that we had that experience, even though we didn't quite make our goal. But we were close enough to that goal. Sometimes it's fine with goals to just get close enough. That's the end of our basketball saga. We didn't make it to the all-church tournament, but we did make many friends. We learned that when you work hard together, great things can happen. And we learned how important it is to be a good friend. A good friend will be with you when you are happy, when you are sad, when you are mad, and when you are glad. A good friend will have your back in the hard times, and you can have your friends back in the hard times as well. Well, that's all for tonight, the end of our basketball saga. Sweet basketball dreams. Until next time, I love you.
We hope you enjoyed tonight's bedtime story.
We hope you felt our love for you.
And we hope you will have sweet dreams tonight. We love you so much.